Welcome back to The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast. This is Podcast 429, the Lost Podcast, which I will explain in a moment because I do feel like I've had sort of a lost 4 days due to a technical meltdown, which has partially been explained in Podcast 430, but I'll explain it a little bit more in Podcast 429 because it's fun to talk about tech, right? And I want to talk about the debate on CNBC, which everyone has been talking about the last couple of days, so it's an opportunity for me to kind of weigh in and present perhaps an opinion. You've certainly heard me purvey before, but an opinion I'm not hearing very much in the media or reading. I don't listen or watch, I read, so I'm not reading this opinion too much, and I want to talk. So this podcast is really going to be about media, to a certain extent technology, but really it's going to be about the Republicans and media and the current state of affairs politically in this country and why it's dangerous. Now, before I get into a long and involved description, which really isn't that going to be that long and involved, of the mixer compatibility operating system, Donner Party kind of experience of the last few days, which is actually, I can look back on it now because I've had some success at least in getting sound into my computer, so I feel better. But I'll talk about that. And I'm going to tell you why I'm doing this. So I'm going to be doing a live podcast with Jason Lewis on 11 o'clock Saturday, which is at 11 o'clock on Saturday, which is, of course, Halloween in Lakeville, which is going to be at the Main Street Cafe at 20788 Holyoke Avenue. Now I'll put a note on Facebook so everybody can get the details. Big parking area next to the site, a bar, restaurant, and patio. Dave Thompson is going to be there, Senator Dave Thompson. And the thing that's interesting is all three of us used to work at KSTP in Minneapolis and St. Paul, which is a big talk station. Used to be. It's no longer. But, we're all sort of alumni of that place, and that's going to be fun. And I don't know if Dave Thompson is going to be on the podcast, but I know he's going to be there. And I would imagine that Jason will be speaking at some point in the cafe. Jason and I work together, and I think he's one of the clearest thinkers out there on a lot of stuff. And you, even if you disagree with what he's saying, he is provocative and thoughtful and substantive, which is the things that I actually like and hope for. And I'm certainly not endorsing any candidates, but I think it'll be fun to do a live interview with Jason. And I'm gonna, ask him about some things, and specifically some things in the 2nd District, and see where he's at. He's running for Congress in the 2nd District, so he's running for John Klein's seat. There are two Democrat candidates who've already raised over $500,000 each so far that are going to be competing for the Democrat endorsement in that district. So there's going to be a lot of money behind the Democrats, and I think they might consider that seat a pickup depending on what happens. Jason is running against at least two other candidates that I know of, and we'll see what happens with that as well. So that's kind of the political background, but this is the reason that I have been rushing around trying to pull all this technology together, because I want to be able to feed audio out to the PA system so that people can stand around the truck and listen, and yet we can be inside, being able to do the podcast without having, so you can look through the windows and see us doing the podcast, but you'll also be able to hear it. And if I just took the digital recorder, you wouldn't be able to do that. It would be the most craziest Rube Goldberg arrangement to get audio from the digital recorder out to the PA, whereas this thing that I have now, which I'm going to explain in a few, is designed to do that. So we will have audio at tomorrow's event in podcast time. So it's not tomorrow, it's Thursday. This is going to be posting on Friday morning. So it will be tomorrow in podcast time, October 31st, Halloween in Lakeville. I have to get back into my phone and I have to password back into the phone at the Main Street Cafe, 20788 Holyoke Avenue in Lakeville at 11 o'clock on Saturday. So I'm really excited about doing that. And of course, it is Halloween, and Halloween usually signals the weather change in the Twin Cities and in the upper Midwest. And that means it is time to have your heating and your water heater and your plumbing checked before winter. First of all, you have your heating checked because, and it isn't cheap, but it's worth it over a long period of time, because you'll save a lot of money, to talk to Ryan about smart tech and what they can do for your heating system. Secondly, if you have plumbing problems in the winter, it's much worse than when you have plumbing problems in the summer, especially if you're one of those people who goes away. So you should have your toilets and you should have your plumbing checked for the winter, because you don't want to have plumbing problems during the winter. And then finally, remember Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service throughout the year. They do a lot of emergency service. Okay, here are the numbers. In St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6048-6488, and have them check your water heater as well. They are metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too, like Lakeville and Invergrove and Plymouth and Elk, whatever. That town called Elk, whatever. Maple Grove. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. And here's the key, residential and business. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. And thanks, Greg Ryan, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast and for sponsoring, even though you don't know it yet, but you are sponsoring this event out in Lakeville with Jason. So thank you so much, Greg. All right. And this podcast is kind of fun for me, because what I'm doing while I'm talking is I'm just fiddling with the mixer a little bit, trying to get things optimized for tomorrow, for, you know, in podcast time, basically Saturday morning. I don't want to be doing this at 10:30 on Saturday morning, panicking to make sure all this stuff is working. So I'm doing kind of a fun podcast while at the same time making sure all the technology is working. That's kind of what this is all about. So here's my little odyssey over the last few days. So as I explained in one of the other podcasts, I assiduously update my operating systems, which is when you're using audio equipment, photography equipment, video equipment, systems like Avid, you know, and DAWs, which are the digital recording systems that we use to record audio or video. Generally speaking, it's not a good idea to update, because most of the time this equipment is designed to be compatible with a certain operating system. You don't have to upgrade. A lot of people feel that you do, although, you know, one of the interesting things that happens is when you have and you're running apps or you're running basically programs, sometimes they'll stop working if they're not updated, if you don't update the operating system. So there's just a general push to update operating systems and get updates for whatever they are, whether they're security updates or they're complete reworks. So Apple reworked their operating system from Mavericks all the way up to what is now El Capitan. So they went from 10.8 to 10.9.5 to 10.11 and 10.11.1, and now there's a 10.11.1.5, and on and on and on. And they're updating these. And I had, as I mentioned, one mixer that has a mechanical problem that I have to get fixed. And so I went out and I bought an exact copy of that mixer because it sounds really good. And it, because of a design change, it's no longer compatible with the operating systems that I had updated to in the Mac. Well, okay. So all I have to do, right, is go back to the old operating system. And so I spent probably 15 hours at the Apple store, once in Uptown and then later at Southdale here in Minneapolis, to go back. And people think it's easy to use. It's difficult to go back to an older operating system, because you have to back up your computer and you essentially have to wipe it. And then what we did was we partitioned the drive so we could have one half El Capitan and one half Mavericks just in case. And then the idea was to bring it back and plug it in and see if it supported the mixer. Well, it doesn't. And the reason is the mixer wants 10.8, and the digital audio recording system that I'm using wants 10.9.5 and above. And so there's this gap in the middle, and there's just nothing I can do. The company is working on, supposedly another driver for this mixer, so it will work with El Capitan and Yosemite and Mavericks above 10.8. And for those of you interested, Eric, then they will, they'll be done with it and they'll put out a different mixer. So what I've done is drop down one. I went out today. So now I've bought one mixer. Then I went and I spent 15 hours getting my computer updated and changed, and actually had a great customer service experience with Apple Computer. And then finally today, I brought everything back and plugged it in, and it didn't work. So I had to go out and buy another mixer. So I went out and bought another mixer. This is a USB mixer, which will get the job done for the event with Jason Lewis on Saturday, Halloween, at October 31st well, here, I'm going to look again, and guess what? I'm going to have to go back into my phone. I can never remember these things. The Main Street Cafe in Lakeville. So I'll be parked out in front, and you'll be able to hear it. And that was my main objective, because I thought it would be very unprofessional to show up with something that just didn't work, and I'd be sitting in there holding a microphone talking to Jason like it was 1969. I don't think that's a good idea. So I got that all fixed. I'm really, really, really excited about doing that, and I'm actually relieved, because I thought, so I went out and bought this mixer, brand new, opened it up, pulled it out of the box, plugged it in, and I was like, this one's not going to work anyway, but it does. And so I was very relieved to be able to go on to preferences in the operating system, choose audio, and see this mixer show up. The same is true with my digital recording system. So all is well. And that is what has been going on here. And that's why I was so disconnected and distracted. And I hate being out of my comfort zone. Most people do, but I really hate it, because I have, you know, I have certain things that I do at a certain time every day, even though I stay up all night and I sleep all day. You know, I have a process, and I work 12 hours a day. So, you know, I have a process that I have to do every day, and I get, you know, set in my ways, and I get very fixed, and it's hard for me to just to blow up and do 14 different things and switch my yoga schedule around and everything else. I can do it. It's not like I can't. I mean, I'm familiar with, you know, that kind of high pressure work. It's not that big of a deal, but, you know, I don't like it. And so I was completely out of sorts, and I miscounted the podcast. This is podcast 429. And the podcast I did that I labeled 430 is actually the one that should have been labeled 429. So using the wonders of modern technology, I'm actually going to backdate 429, even though it comes after 430. I'm going to backdate 429 and put it in right before 430. So there'll be a little confusion with time. But I think both podcasts are timely in the sense that we're all kind of struggling with these. When I was at one of the other places I love to go is Guitar Center, buying this mixer. And I was talking to the guy at Guitar Center, and you know, I said, you know, I'm really mad at this company that made the mixer in question. And he goes, hey, come on, man, it's not all their fault. Of course, the Guitar Center guy would take the mixer's manufacturer's perspective. He goes, it's not all their fault, because Apple keeps throwing out these updates. People take them, and then he goes, we deal with this every day. People come in, and they go, my Avid Suite doesn't work, my this doesn't work, my that doesn't work, my guitar thing doesn't work because I updated, and it doesn't matter whether it's Apogee or Yamaha or Mackie or, you know, Avid or some other PA system. It doesn't matter which one it is. They all, you know, have this problem. So I was chastised by the guy at Guitar Center, which I like, actually, because I hate some of those places where it's, you know, the customer's always right. And, hey, so you think you really know what you're talking about, and you're going to, like, try to sling some Apple stuff at me, and I'm going to pretend that you do. At Guitar Center, there's no such attitude. If you say something wrong, they'll tell you, no, that doesn't work that way. This is how it works. It's kind of funny. So I had a good time there. But I got to tell you, I'm much relieved that it works. But the whole point of podcast 430 is all these mismatches and these technologies that really are amazing, that deliver really high quality audio. In my case, they're tremendous tools that we use as broadcasters and podcasters and as bloggers or artists or whatever it is that you do to be able to do what you do, whether it's movie making or anything else. But it feels sometimes that they don't work up to their cred because they're complicated, and they are complex. And there are situations where companies manufacture a mixer, put a chipset in, and find out, you know, 6 months later that Apple has updated their, you know, systems, and they don't support that chipset anymore. So then they've got to figure out how to fix that. And when I told you that I was really pleased to hear from the president of that company, who said, you know, I just had a conversation with the engineers this morning about fixing this, and, you know, I guess we're going to go one more spin on a driver to fix this mixer problem that you're having. But, you know, no one told us that they were going to do this. And then there's this whole question about supporting FireWire. And then you go to the Apple store and they say, well, of course we support FireWire. We still sell computers with FireWire in them. So, I mean, I'm using a Mac Portable from, what, 2005 or 2006. And he said, you know, we still sell that MacBook Pro, and it still has a FireWire connection. Now, the new Apples use something called Thunderbolt, and Thunderbolt we haven't seen appear on any of these professional grade audio mixers or any pro sound type stuff at this point. So it's kind of funny. I know they're out there, but I in my mad rush to solve this problem, I couldn't find any. So in the meantime, I had the ambulance up in Maple Grove having the expert and extraordinary mechanics work on the mobile podcast command unit to make sure it is set up and ready to roll for winter operations, which are essentially beginning this week, right? Because I may end up going down to Iowa in November. I was going to go down in February, but I may yet have to go down in November. So I had that way up in Maple Grove, and I live in the West Metro, so I had to get a ride up there because I have two cars, but you can't drive a car up and drive both back because we don't have self-driving cars yet. So I had to get my friend Mitch. I had to drag Mitch away from whatever he was doing this morning to give me a ride. So it's just been an insane couple of days. But Mitch was really excited because he was part of one of the debate viewing parties for the Republicans in the West Metro, the CD5 Republicans, just this week. Wednesday night, the Republicans debated on CNBC. And now we are all talking about the media and how crappy the media is, as though this is a news story, and as though this comes as anyone as a surprise to anyone that John Harwood is in the tank for the left, or who knows what they're in the tank for. But they tend to be more snarky with Republicans and less snarky with Democrats, at least so the story goes. The thing that I find interesting about this particular moment in time is suddenly now we're all talking about how messed up the media is and how they're all biased once again, which is something that feeds directly into the confirmation bias of most Republicans. They are very suspicious of the media. They don't trust people from the media. They hate the media. And so isn't it wonderful that the Republican candidates went out at the debate and attacked the media? And so I am officially, at the next debate, I'm going to have what I'm going to call it. It is the, I'm going to call it the Bob Davis Podcast's debate anti-viewing party. And what we're going to do is get together and not watch the debate. We're going to get together and watch football, or we're going to get together and we're going to watch cartoons, because it's the same thing. Because I still don't understand what people expect to gain from watching these debates. And here's where I'm going with this. We are increasingly seeing, and especially in this election cycle, we are seeing politics covered exactly like sports. It is literally the last guy voted off the island is going to be the candidate for the Republicans. It's not so pronounced in the Democrats, and it is the Republicans who put this together. It is their fault. They thought it was going to be a coronation for Jeb Bush, and it's true that they thought it was going to be a coronation for Jeb Bush. It turned into a literal free-for-all and chaos as soon as Donald Trump entered the race. And you're still going to see more chaos because Ted Cruz isn't going to quit, and he is just as likely to say something that will get people's attention as Donald Trump is. And now it's day-to-day-to-day. Who's doing this in the poll, and how did this one's debate performance affect that one, and what's going on with this one? And now the questions are symbiotically feeding into that. As I said in a podcast, you have a very dangerous symbiotic relationship between polling, political polling, which I also explained in one of the podcasts this month, and candidates, and then the media. And so the media is making money by having these candidates show up at these debates. They are pulling in viewers by the millions and using it to make money. And of course, the polling is essential because the polling is how we view the horse race. And yet, not a single American has cast a vote. And the first people that will cast anything nearly approaching a vote, which is really not what a caucus is, and if you are familiar with caucuses, they are not votes. They are not primaries. They're essentially straw polls. And there are a number of other issues that take place at caucuses. I'm going down to Greene County, most likely, to cover the Iowa caucuses. I'm looking for a rural Iowa caucus. So if you have one, I'd love to talk to you. I will be going to the Democrat and the Republican caucus because in most of the caucus states, Minnesota and Iowa, we don't caucus together, but we caucus in the same place. So there's a Democrat caucus and there's a Republican caucus. And, you know, depending on state law, people can cross over. But once you're in one, you're in there. So I'm looking for a rural caucus, because when people start voting, that's when the rubber will meet the road. And it still isn't a presidential election. So all of this polling, which is, I've told you, and now Sean Trendy at realclearpolitics.com is following in my footsteps, because it's necessary that people understand the foibles and problems with these polls, because they are not necessarily predictive, and they're wildly unpredictive of caucuses. So these guys are crisscrossing across Iowa, literally campaigning, retail campaigning, and then they're going on television for these debates. And in the debates, they are, again, retail campaigning, you know, appealing to the emotional ideas or confirmation bias of the so-called Republican voters in an effort to shoulder one or the other out of the way. You know, depending on who you talk to, and in particular, Jeb Bush's campaign seems to have this idea that there are lanes in the race. This is a quote from a Republican consultant who analyzed the GOP primary like this. Now, they say they're starting to call this the primary, as though this is a one election thing. This is a 50 state, to my knowledge. 50 states are having primary elections. Many other things are going to be decided in 50 different states besides who the leading presidential candidate will be. Some states split the vote. Some states it's winner take all in terms of delegates. But these guys are out there to get delegates to go to the convention. So they're running for the presidential nomination of their party. They are not even yet running for president, technically. And people don't understand that. They think they're running for president. This is a presidential election. This is the primary, except it isn't the primary. It is 50 different states with 50 different state laws, you know, held on different days with different issues, with different things on the ballot, with different people, and so forth and so forth and so forth. It's hardly a single day or quote unquote GOP or DNC primary. But this is the quote from the Republican consultant who said, quote, "Think of the Republican field as a series of lanes. In this race, there are four of them: establishment, Tea Party, social conservative, and libertarian. The four lanes are not of equal size. Establishment is the biggest. I don't know who says that or why, followed by the Tea Party, social conservative, and then libertarian." So this is the muddled thinking that is driving the strategy at the very top for Republicans. Meanwhile, if you look at Wired magazine this week, there was a great article about the GOP tech talent problem that it might not be able to solve. You may remember a long time ago me talking about the Democrat voter registration software, for lack of a better term, that allowed operatives to go door to door and collect information on candidates, and then it went into a central system so that block track by block track, you know, street by street, the party strategists had access to data that was malleable, that was, you know, usable in different ways, that could be converted, and so forth. And the Republican system is very clunky and doesn't work very well, and the Democrat system is much better. To give you an example, you may recall me talking about David Bratt in Virginia, who is now a congressman. He's the guy that unseated Eric Cantor down in Virginia. David Bratt is, some people call him a Tea Party guy. I think he's probably more of a libertarian than he is a Tea Party guy. But anyway, David Bratt used the Democrat system, which you had to pay $100,000 to have them set it up in an individual state for you to use. That's the system that he used, and it helped get him elected. This Wired magazine article is great because it talks about the fact that Democrat campaigns, the Democratic Party, the DNC, is way ahead of the Republicans when it comes to technology, and that the GOP has this tech talent problem that it might not solve. Part of it is that a lot of tech talent goes to the Democratic Party. A lot of tech talent doesn't want to have anything to do with the Republican Party because of various stances and issues. So, you know, there's a surfeit of engineers that are available to work for the Democratic Party. Now, Republicans will say, I don't need thousands of engineers. I just need 100 good ones. The problem is, if you only have 100, you might not get the good ones. You have a much smaller pool to work with to find your tech guy, as when you have 1,000 tech engineers that can work, software engineers that can work with your campaign. So while all this is going on, so, you know, while all of this clown show is going on with these debates, which doesn't accomplish anything and not a single, all it does is it feeds the polls and it feeds the networks. And it feeds, everybody's like, well, those CNBC guys are sure taking it up the shorts from the Republicans. The CNBC guys are laughing all the way to the bank because everyone's talking about CNBC. When was the last time CNBC got a lot of talk out there? When was the last time CNBC got the kind of talk and attention that it's getting right now? They knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew exactly what the response was going to be by the Republicans. And I have a feeling that they're not too concerned about it, that it actually ended up helping them and probably will help them gain viewership because it puts them on the map. So it's a symbiotic and dangerous relationship between candidates who are going out and throwing out red meat and appealing to confirmation bias and emotional reactions to potential voters, and no one has voted. So until people start voting, we're not going to really know what's going on. Meanwhile, we're voting people off the island because we don't like them, because they responded positively to CNBC, because whatever. And people are going to these things and they're watching these things as though they're watching a sporting event. It is not sports. It's, you know, dangerous because this is the reality. The reality is that this week, the United States sailed a destroyer through one of the disputed Spratly Islands, basically, and the Chinese are none too happy about it, especially at a time when the Chinese economy is in big trouble. It is a time when we are talking about sending troops back to Iraq, including Navy helicopters and special ops people into Iraq to fight the ISIS groups. And of course, the Iraqis say they didn't ask for anyone. So that situation is continuing to escalate. And by the way, the Chinese are also involved in the Middle East. They're being asked into to the coalition with the Russians. And on top of all this, this is a week in which the Republican Party, the Republican representation in Congress, which went there ostensibly to cut budgets and to cut spending, because remember 2014, they were going to get their hands on this problem and solve it. And they actually increased spending by $30 billion in 2017 and $50 billion in 2016. It will be a split between domestic and discretionary programs and defense. And the defense cuts really are just a a veil so that they can continue to funnel money into other parts of the budget. And the idea here is that Boehner is clearing the deck so that Paul Ryan will be able to come in clean and be a more effective speaker. But here we have a Republican Party, which is supposed to be about fiscal management, increasing spending by considerably large amounts of money. I will also tell you that there's a whole issue about whether or not the money itself is going to get taken care of and paid. In other words, whether the books are going to balance, because what they did was they did pension smoothing and other accounting tricks that they do in Chicago and in states that are in a downward spiral like Illinois and California to quote unquote pay for these budget increases. And it was Republicans that did it. And I think people should be furious about it. But here's the thing. We're not talking about this. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about the CNBC debate and how the media is biased. We're not talking about a very real international crisis that's brewing. We're not talking, two of them, we're not talking about the budget deal being a disaster for Republicans who basically went back on their promise by passing this. We're talking about four lanes, and we're talking about Jeb Bush, and we're talking about Donald Trump's family, and we're talking about CNBC and what's going to happen at the next debate, and are you going to go to the debate viewing party and covering it as though it's literally Major League Baseball. It's disgusting. It's extremely dangerous because we're not discussing the issues that need to be discussed substantively, which, by the way, I think some of these guys are right to take on the media about it, but they're not really attacking the right thing, because what's actually happening is this symbiotic relationship, which was created by the RNC in order to present this sort of diverse field, younger, diverse field of candidates. And I think people go and watch these debate parties because I think that they view it as comedy. I think they think it's funny. I think they're waiting to see if somebody says, you know, the F word or pushes their podium over or punches somebody, because that's where they're at. They're not going to watch these debates to find out what Ted Cruz's opinion on, you know, Israel as an ally is or not an ally, or whether we're going to be their ally or not their ally. They're not going to see that. They're going to see if Chris Christie lost weight. They're going to see who gets voted off the island this week. That is, I mean, I guess I'll ask it as a question. Is that the way that we elect presidents? Is that the way it should be done? I'm very concerned. And, you know, even more so, I got to tell you this story because this is just hilarious. So I have a friend who actually has a nose ring. And we were sitting at yoga and we were talking, and he was talking to one of the teachers. He's a teacher, and he was talking to one of the other teachers, and I butt in because I always do. And they were talking about some news event or something. And I said, hey, did you guys? Oh, no, they were saying they were tired. Why are we so tired? What's going on? And I said, maybe it's because the three near Earth objects are hiding behind the moon. The aliens are here. And he goes, where did you hear that? That sounds freaky. And I said, I saw it on YouTube. And so then we started talking about the fact that the guy at the Apple store was an aerospace engineer. And he said, the story is that these three objects are heavier and more dense and harder than carbonized steel, the strongest carbonized steel, or the strongest nanofibers. And the guy who at Apple, who is an aerospace engineer, he goes, you know, I was trained as an aerospace engineer, and what I'd like to know is how they know that. I said, well, can you tell that from a telescope? And he said, no. So I'm not saying that there are three near-Earth objects which came in from deep space and now they're hiding behind the moon. I'm saying people believe that there are three in deep space objects which have come in over the last few months and are hiding behind the moon, and nobody knows what they're doing there, although they're cloaked now, so you won't be able to see them, FYI. And Tim said, you know, this is the friend of mine, he goes, everybody's getting their news now from Facebook. He goes, I found myself today scrolling down in Facebook looking for that story instead of just Googling it, you know, which actually, you know, everybody Googles stuff anyway. They don't read a newspaper. They don't read streamed news. They just watch a video or they see a story. And so it's completely fractalized right now in terms of what people are seeing or not seeing. And a story like the, you know, the three near-Earth objects behind the moon or a financial advertisement have the same weight. You unless you're careful, you may not know that you're taking a story from Russia Times, let's say, which is a propaganda arm of the Russian government, versus supposedly an objective news-gathering service like, I don't know, are there any? So that's kind of the situation that we're in, and that's why I want to take the Mobile Podcast Command Unit out and have been and actually cover an event because I think that we're increasingly dealing with a dream world. We're dealing with a television world, a small screen world, a YouTube world, a gotcha quote world that is schadenfreude and not actually politics. And I think we're in for some surprises when people actually start to vote. Don't forget to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, the sponsor of Podcast 429, to come out and check your heat, to tell you what they can do with smart tech. Also check your plumbing and your water heater before it starts to get cold. Halloween is the line of demarcation. You know, we're really on borrowed time and it's starting to get cool. We had some flurries this week, so and some sleeting, especially if you're in the Northern Metro. Any place north, you know, you need to have it checked for sure. Residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Here's the number in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide, that means the suburbs too, as I said. Now, if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Here's what you do. If you're a pilot and you want this to be a part of your avionics package, it's advisable. It's FAA approved. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the Bob Davis Podcasts.com. www.thebrainfarm.com. And don't forget us. We're going to be out at this place in Lakeville. I'm going to tell you, I have to go back into my phone and I have to password in. So we're going to be at the Main Street Cafe at 20788 Holyoke Avenue in Lakeville with the Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8. It'll be all set to go with PA and everything, 11 o'clock on Halloween Saturday. Come out and see it. See it and us. There's a bar and restaurant and patio. Dave will be there. Big parking area next to the site. I will notify everybody on Facebook, and please come out and see Jason. It'll be really fun. We're going to have a good time. Senator Dave Thompson will be there as well. And thanks for listening from you guys on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, and blogtalkradio.com. And soon I'm going to have an announcement regarding yet another syndication website for the Bob Davis podcast, but it's not going to be the podcast. It's going to be a special show, and it may also be syndicated on the radio, so stand by for information on that. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, and thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for buying the audiobook, which is called Chieftain 2021. That's all good, and thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, podcast 429. We will see you Halloween in Lakeville with Jason Lewis. Bye-bye.